And welcome back to New Hampshire Today, the weekday version. Of course, you can catch me on that show on Mondays at 6:20 in the morning. Also, you'll catch me on Fridays pretty much in the studio from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. talking about a lot of different things that are going on, current events, politics. Politics seems to be the hot topic right now. So you can catch me on those times as well. Also, catch my article every week in Seacoast Online. You can pick up the paper version, whether it's Foster's or whether it's actually the Portsmouth Herald. You can pick those up as well. But if you just like to do things the modern way, go ahead and search out SeacoastOnline.com, SeacoastOnline.com. Speaking of SeacoastOnline.com, this next person we have on the show, Brian Bouchard, of course, he's an attorney, Esquire, of course, Shaheen Finney. He's a litigator. He focuses on labor and employment, land use, construction issues as well. He had a really great article right before the new year, COVID-19 vaccine, can businesses and employers mandated. And I thought this was a really good time for us to have this conversation. This is focused on all of us because we really haven't made this decision. And each individual company is going to have to make a decision about how they want to handle it.
Brian is not giving us legal advice.
And we have to be very careful about that because each situation is unique to each of us. So Brian is going to help us frame this conversation a little bit more. But what I would suggest to you, if you don't have an attorney and you do want to explore this, especially those companies that need to define a policy, you would reach out to someone like Brian or someone who is in this profession and focuses on these types of issues to help them out. So, Brian, let's talk first about your article. So I'm going to post it up on our social media so people can go ahead and read that article. There have been several articles on this. The first thing I want to start off with is you get a couple examples to have people kind of think about this process a little bit. You know, can a company offering harbor cruises out of Portsmouth, say, for example, require the patrons to show proof of vaccination or otherwise be denied service? One kind of situation. Can companies...
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about that and other companies that are thinking about that process as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important to frame this conversation with some context. So think about the cruise line industries right now. They're effectively shut down. They want to reopen. Airlines are still operating, but not at full capacity. And those are the type of commercial transports that are going to want to have something akin to a vaccination passport that patrons are going to have to show that they've been vaccinated in order to use their services. Or if they haven't been vaccinated, they may have to either go to one part of the commercial vessel here or wear a mask. The other important industry here is really businesses. Businesses want people back in the office. They want to be able to operate as they were operating prior to the pandemic, and having employees vaccinate is going to be an important step in returning to some type of normalcy for businesses.
So once again, we're talking to Brian Bouchard. Once again, you can catch the article online. I placed it up on our Facebook pages and our Twitter pages as well, Shaheen Finney. So as you're starting to think about this as an individual and as a company, you know, some of the conversations you may want to make sure you have. So first thing, you know, Brian, when we talk about this, a lot of people are starting to hear acronyms. I love acronyms. So EUA, Emergency Use Authorization, was how the first batch of vaccines have come out. And then the other thing that you mentioned in your article is the EEOC. Many of us know that, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. So when we start talking about those entities, what are some of the things that they're thinking about, or how does that affect how an employer and an employee and a business might start crafting a policy?
That's an important question, Jeff. And there's two sides of this coin. One is the EUA, which is the Emergency Use Authorization. Right now, the two vaccines that have been approved haven't received full FDA approval. Rather, their approval is under an emergency use authorization from Secretary Azar of the Department of Health and Human Services. And effectively what he said is that, you know, there's a health crisis going on, and based on the testing seen to date, while we don't have full FDA approval, we're going to allow the vaccines to be used to help or start inoculating people against the coronavirus virus. That comes with two conditions, however, because it isn't a full FDA approval and it's only an EUA. One of those conditions is that the person receiving the vaccine has to be informed of their right to refuse the vaccine and the consequences that flow from refusing the vaccine. And so far, Secretary Azar hasn't identified any consequences from a person refusing the vaccine, as he would be required to do under the statute. So one interpretation of that is that the vaccine actually can't be mandated in its current state. Eventually, we'll get to an FDA approval, a full FDA approval, and this conversation will be effectively moot. But while we're still operating under an EUA, one interpretation of Secretary Azar's declaration is that individuals have the right to refuse the vaccine because there haven't been any consequences identified, that the vaccine can't be mandated. Another view of that is that, well, really, what's happening with that situation is that Secretary Azar is effectively regulating Congress to a large extent. And as a matter of really technical administrative law, you know, does the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services have the authority to regulate commerce to that extent? Can the Secretary say that, you know, cruises and airlines and employers cannot mandate the vaccine? That's going to be an interesting question that the courts are going to have to answer, to the extent we even get to that point. People file a declaratory judgment, or we'll just wait for full FDA approval. For its part, the EEOC has actually said that employers or hasn't said, I shouldn't say that. It is strongly implied when you read the guidance that employers can in fact mandate a vaccine for its employees under certain circumstances. Notwithstanding the EUA approval.
So that's a really interesting point too. So when we think about, you know, how the EEOC brought that kind of conversation into it, it's not actually mandated, right? They're still having that conversation. But when we think about that, Brian, one of the things that people have kind of pushed back on, and something that that is the bigger picture, is that when that final decision comes down, what if a company decides not to mandate the vaccine? They look at it and they say, this is not a position we want to go. Will they be in violation of a government policy potentially?
So far, no. There is no... Right now, there isn't any mandate from the government to require people to vaccinate. Constitutionally, it's possible based on a case from 1906, Jacobson versus Massachusetts. But right now, there isn't any mandate from the government that requires employers and businesses to make their employees vaccinate. There is one part of OSHA regulations, it's called the General Duty Clause, that requires employers to provide a safe workplace. You know, that could maybe be interpreted as requiring people to vaccinate against a virus that can spread so easily, but I haven't really seen any authority to that extent.
Once again, we're talking to Brian Bouchard. Of course, he is Shaheen Finney. He's a litigator. He focuses on labor and employment, also land use, construction issues. Really great article. We posted it up online. So, Brian, you are doing a wonderful job. I don't want to sidetrack you too much. When we think about some of the things that employers need to think about, or individual businesses, they actually have a lot of power in this case. They don't have to wait for the government. They can mandate certain things for clients to come into their businesses as long as it's acceptable according to equal opportunity laws. They can mandate certain kind of health things that they may prefer to have their clients adhere to as they walk into their business.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the equal opportunity part here would really focus on what employers can require of their employees. And, you know, as the EEOC has said right now, notwithstanding the EUA, employers can require employees to vaccinate. But there's many traps for the unwary here, as you would expect. Well, one thing to consider is that, and this gets a little technical, but one thing to consider is that the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, limits what employers can do with respect to requiring current employees to go and have a medical exam or to answer medical inquiries. What the statute says is that employers can only require a medical exam or ask medical inquiries if those things are job-related and consistent with a business necessity. Now, the EEOC has said that the vaccine itself is not a medical exam, which means that if an employer requiring an employee to be vaccinated, it doesn't have to be job-related and consistent with a business necessity. However, there is a catch to that, and that is this. When a healthcare provider is administering the vaccine, there are a series of questions that the healthcare provider has to ask the patient. And those are, you know, normal things that you would expect with a vaccine to identify whether or not the vaccine might actually be harmful to the individual. That pre-screening inquiry is actually a medical inquiry under the ADA. And then, therefore, that triggers the job-related and consistent with a business necessity requirement. So while the vaccine itself is not a medical exam, the inquiries asked leading up to the vaccine are itself a medical inquiry, which means that the vaccine would have to be job-related and consistent with the business necessity in order for the employer to mandate it. However, there's a workaround to that that the EEOC has talked about. One is just to require that the vaccine be voluntary. Therefore, the employee answering these pre-screening medical inquiries is doing so voluntarily. Their job is not on the line, and so that will pass muster under the ADA. The other way to do this is to actually sort of farm out the work of the vaccine. Instead of having the employer administer the vaccine itself, if it's a healthcare provider, for instance, or essentially hiring somebody to come into the workplace and vaccinate everybody under a contract because the medical exam law applies not only to the employer, but those under contract with the employer. The employer can actually just have employees go to a pharmacy, a healthcare provider, and go get vaccinated and return with a certification of vaccination. It's fine if the pharmacy then charges the employer for the vaccine. You know, that's absolutely kosher. But employers want to be careful that if they're mandating a vaccine, not to do so themselves, or to be careful whom they contract with, because otherwise those pre-screening medical inquiries are going to be considered a medical inquiry under the ADA, which means that the entire process has to be job-related and has to be consistent with the business necessity. Think about pilots, for instance. Before you're allowed to become a pilot, you have to get your eyes tested. You have to get a medical exam to think about whether you have heart conditions or any type of condition that might cause you to pass out. You know, those things are job-related and consistent with the business necessity.
Once again, we're talking to Brian Bouchard. Of course, he is from Shaheen and Finney. He's a litigator. Of course, we talked about labor and employment, land use, construction issues. That's what he focuses in on. So once again, he is not providing legal advice. What we're having here is an open conversation that hopefully, because I know many business owners listen to the radio show, now is the time to think about it, guys. If you haven't thought about it, now is the time to reach out. Now, before I get into our next couple of questions, Brian, because you've opened up a couple of doors I want to kind of look at. In your profession, I mean, the advice that you would give would have to start kind of early. So when we have HR departments right now and we have owners of businesses really kind of sitting down and saying, okay, what is my policy going to be? They really should be bringing someone like you into the conversation early to kind of say, well, let's look at what we can and can do right now, what we think, and some of the things you should think about for the repercussions. They should be bringing somebody like you in early, shouldn't they be?
Absolutely. I don't recommend that any employer, any HR department go this alone. There are simply just too many little traps for the unwary with respect to the ADA to try and figure this out from an internet article or even the EEOC guidance that's been posted. You know, we have an entire team of attorneys at Sheehan Finney, Bass and Green, and our offices in Concord, Manchester, and our new one opening in Portsmouth in a couple weeks here. But they shouldn't go it alone. Not only is there the ADA component, but there's also Title VII components here. You know, for those listeners who may know, Title VII, you know, prohibits employers from discriminating against employees on the basis of race, sex, religion, national origin, and a variety of other factors. But it also imposes an affirmative duty on employers that when someone needs an accommodation because of religious reasons, that an employer has to go through an interactive process with the employee. And it very well may be the case here that a number of individuals and employees will decline the vaccine because of sincerely held religious beliefs. Employers have to be careful on how they approach that. If a person has a sincerely held religious belief, then they may be entitled to an accommodation, which means that they would be allowed to still work for the employer, but not be vaccinated, notwithstanding the mandatory vaccination protocol. So, yeah, don't don't go this alone. That's what the attorneys are here for.
Well, once again, we're talking to Brian Bouchard, of course. I'm going to post this information up online. We're not going to be able to answer all the questions. I hope that what we're doing right now, though, is helping you take a step back and really think about what your next process should be. Brian, one of the things you brought up, and I want to point this out, we've been talking about the employers and we've been talking about businesses. Let's talk a little bit about the employees. Employees have to be very careful here if they might be somebody not prone to want to take a vaccine or take this vaccine because of the way it was released. But they should be very careful, too. It's not as easy for them just to say no. There are things that they need to think about as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, any employee who's receiving a directive from his or her employer to be vaccinated, you know, they need to be careful here as well. You know, this is a vaccine that hasn't received full FDA approval. I fully expect it will by the end of the year, but we're still only under an EUA right now. And there could be contraindications associated with the vaccine. For instance, you know, someone is vaccinated and it may cause, you know, more harm to them than good. And in that case, if the employer is working for, if the employee is working for a company that requires the vaccine, then he or she should go to the HR department and have a conversation about accommodations that are available to him or her to allow them to, you know, still work for the company, not be a direct threat, but then also not receive the vaccine because of a contraindication or because of a sincerely held religious belief. And some of the accommodations that, you know, the employer and the employee might explore here are, okay, continue to wear masks to work, continue to telework, work in a remote area of the building or a more isolated area of the building, or even job reassignment. Employees and individuals do need to think about how the vaccine might affect them, both for a medical reason and a religious reason, or even a personal reason, and have open conversations with their employer about it.
And once again, Brian Bouchard, post the information up online. You should be reaching out to these kind of litigators that'll help you navigate these kind of conversations. One thing, Brian, before we let you go, is that, you know, a lot has been said, and of course the media does a wonderful job of saying, you know, certain companies are not going to be held liable if something goes wrong with this vaccine. We're not sure how many of those companies are actually going to be liable. But a company asking their employees to potentially take this vaccine should also be discussing with attorneys what happens if something happens to that employee, if they suddenly have an adverse reaction, or if even worse, it gets possible hospitalization because of the vaccine. Companies should really be thinking about, okay, what is our obligation to that employee should this end up happening? They should talk about those policies as well, right?
Yeah, that's a conversation that, and again, it's another reason why any company thinking about mandating a vaccine for its employees should really talk to an attorney before doing so. Just because there's so many ins and outs to this, you want to make sure that, you know, in that situation, whether there actually is an immunity for the state that you're in, an immunity from liability, and, you know, what's the extent of your insurance coverage as well, that if you're going to mandate this, and someone does have an adverse reaction, you know, could you be liable? And if you are liable, do you actually have insurance coverage for that issue? So, yeah, that's just another excellent example, Jeff, as to why companies really shouldn't go this alone and they should talk to a professional before, you know, mandating any type of vaccine protocol.
Once again, we're talking to Brian Bouchard, of course. He's Shaheen Finney. They're opening up a new office in Portsmouth. Outstanding for you guys. COVID-19 vaccine, can businesses and employers mandate it? Brian, before we let you go, we'll kind of let you have the last word. I want to remind everybody this was not legal advice. It certainly was an awesome conversation. But you're a litigator, but you're also a juggler. There's a lot of balls up in the air on this kind of conversation. Any last words you want to just remind everybody or just express to anybody?
I think we covered, you know, so much here, actually. You know, the only last word I would add, and it's something I've been repeating here throughout, is that, you know, with something so new right now, there's a lot of things up in the air. On the one hand, we're only dealing with an EUA. So there's at least one interpretation of the EUA that suggests that this can't be mandated. The EEOC is taking a different position, but even with the EEOC's position, there are some traps for the unwary with respect to an employee's ADA rights, with respect to an employee's Title VII rights, and with respect to liability issues. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out in the next year. But that's sort of just the world we're living in with COVID-19. In some respects, employers, businesses, everybody is just sort of flying by the seat of their pants.
Once again, hey guys, I'm going to post this up as our podcast as well. So if you work for a company and you want your employee team to go ahead and listen to this conversation before you start mandating a policy or enacting a policy, please do that. But start thinking about it now, because eventually businesses are going to be opening up, and we want to make sure you're informed and ready to make the right decisions. Also, reach out to professionals like Brian. Let them help you guide that process so you feel more comfortable that you're doing the right thing for your business and also your employees. Brian, thanks a lot. Awesome conversation. Hope we have you back on sometime in the future.
I would love to be back. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Great. So what we'll do is we're going to take a break, and we're right back on New Hampshire Today, the weekend edition.
Easy, bro.